You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening. timeforanawakening.com. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Once again, I'm experiencing technical difficulties, and I can't play my intro. And I apologize. And because playing my intro provides me to do a number of things in preparation to do this program adequately and justly. And unfortunately, I can't do that. So we're just going to, hey, like I said, as a firefighter, we improvise, adapt, and overcome is what we do. We keep the ball rolling. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today, the L.A. fires. And what that all means. Wow. Okay. So that's what's happening. Do me like this. I gotta get my guy Kwaku over here. Cause I don't have a damn clue. Okay, just keeping it real. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my brother Kwaku. The programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media is, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., tonight from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story. Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans from 7 to 9. Thursdays, Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 to 10 on Thursdays. From 8 to 10 on Thursdays, Mississippi on the Move. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday at 5, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6 on Sunday. At 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inyasa Sim. Well, you know what I'm going to try to do here, even though I don't have a lot of the information? I'm going to do some announcing. Because Wednesday, my guest will be Brother Bomani Tahimba. And Brother Bomani, he's now had a chance to come on the program. He had a scheduling problem. And he was unable to join us. And so, Brother Bomani, let me find Brother Bomani, because he sent me the latest schedule. You know, he's always changing it, because You know, he has he's always updating and adding. And he sent me the latest, and I remember reading it. I don't know now if it wasn't there. Was it here? You know? Shucks. That's where it was, family. Yeah. That's where it was. I've got it. That's right, Brother Bomani Tayemba. First, let me do this in some kind of sequential order, as usual. We have We Buy Black. We Buy Black get everything you need from American and African-owned businesses. The largest marketplace, largest online marketplace for American and African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American and African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Habashah. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah. See, I can't pull these up. Once again, improvise, overcome, and adapt. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's right. First you got to adapt, then you overcome. Yeah. So, Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools and at home and abroad. HabashahIncorporated.org. The brothers are doing the work in Ghana, the Kashi Project, and, of course, here in Atlanta area with the Habashah Works Program, Black Tar Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers. Chris, just a great job. Habashah. And, of course, Brother Bomani Tayemba, who, excuse me, family, Africa for the Africans, a journey of a lifetime. He has South Africa coming up at the end of this month, January 30th to February 10th. Then Kenya, that's Zinya, South Africa, no, Zinya. Kenya, April 4th to the 14th of this year. Ghana, May 24th to June 5th of this year. Tanzania, May 20th to December 1st. And then next year, February 12th to the 23rd, 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. Experience a vibrant Africa with a mix of roots, culture, paradise, nightlife, shopping, networking, businesses, and investment opportunities. Tour packages include certified English-speaking tour guides, round-trip flights from America to Africa, transportation and tours throughout Africa, daily breakfast and gourmet dinner, cultural ceremony and ancestral celebrations, hotel accommodations, double occupancy, and of course you can get single, business and investment networking, entrance to all sites and activities. That's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Email address, ATA.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
His email address is AFTA2010@MSN.com. Brother Bomani Tayemba can be reached at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. And, of course, Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see pictures, if you want to see videos, if you want to see pictures, Facebook.com/Bomani's. You want to see videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. .org family. I say. Okay, what else I got here? I'm not going to say that one. I'm going to say this one. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabriella Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in them hills, and working with our children. Please go online to Sanjay, SONJAY-IETAYITI.org to see for yourself the fine work she's doing and the need to support her. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Not open today. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue, Macon, Georgia, to be precise. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. That brother has everything, believe me. Brother Abijah. Okay. I still need to announce Us Lifting Us because I definitely supported this, even though they're not Blog Talk Radio went out. But Us Lifting Us is still going to happen. And if Kwaku can get up and running, we'll see him there. That's for sure. Well, Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, and here in the West End, here in Atlanta, on Ralph David Abernathy. And check them out. 878 Ralph David Abernathy. Phone number 404-444-1635. 404-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. Lovely Mama Nia. Appreciate you, my sister. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call. But more importantly, if you're in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and stop in and check her out. All right. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. That's east of here. And if you're in the Atlanta area, take I-20, go east. Take the exit for Lithonia, which is exit 74. Take exit 74, make a left onto Main Street for Lithonia. Travel about a little over a mile. On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center, Bookstore, and Coffee Bar, where Brother Gazimdi Ajamu does the best he can to serve you. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the other way. You were going north. Now you're going south. But you're still going to make a left. So you're still going to go east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit. Make a right. Three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out. Support them. Please do. They need support. Otherwise, they won't be here soon. I'm just keeping it real. You know, that's how I do it anyway. I just keep it real. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 12th. Yesterday was my brother's birthday. I always surprise him when I call him up on his birthday. Nobody ever calls me up on mine. they don't even know when it is. Well, yeah, I said my birthday was April 25th for quite a while because that's what my mama told me. That's my mama, you know. But it was April 27th. But, you know, I remember my brother's and sister's birthday. And I always send them a greeting or sometimes something. But anyway, also January 12th is the day that the New York Jets won the Super Bowl III. January 12th in Miami. That's a big day for me, man. I'm a Jets fan. I know that's embarrassing as hell. The Jets. Look how pathetic they were when they had all those high hopes with Aaron Rodgers. Man, to me, this past season hurt more as a Jets fan than any because of the expectations. Man, damn it. Anyway, let's get back to what's real. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 12th. Although it will take much more than our knowing we are beautiful and we are to save us, there are redeeming qualities, and that's true. In that knowledge, especially when so many of us think otherwise, that's why it's important to believe and know that you're beautiful because you've been told and still today. Bleaching creams, fake this, fake that. Man. And I ain't talking about just the sisters of more pronouncing sisters. We're talking about, look at Sammy Sosa, used to play for Chicago Cubs. That mother was white as a napkin. Damn shame. That quote is from Carrie T.H. Cheekwood. The Comedic Ocean is what we now call the Atlantic Ocean. We unapologetically make this declaration using our Afrosian because we named this world long before others were acquainted with words. European old world maps label the Atlantic Ocean as Oceanus, Ethiopicus, Ethiopia, that's a tough word, the Ethiopian Ocean. Ethiopian is a Greek word for Kemet. For Kemites, that's Africans, that's us, meaning burnt skin. It is the oldest known Greek word for the Kemites, for the Africans. However, since we are not these Proto-European Greeks or their descendants, we should not use Greek words. Let me repeat. We should not use Greek words, any European words. You find African words and substitute them and make that part of your vocabulary. As you hear me on this program all the time, I'm always trying my best. I should know more, need to know more, but I do what I do. And I put correct words, correct verbiage in where it's appropriate. However, ever since we are not these pro-European Greeks or their descendants, we should not use Greek words to characterize and describe the African reality and worldview. Calling the Comedic Ocean the Ethiopian Ocean speaks volumes about how the Greeks saw the world. Calling this enormous body of water African, which means they probably changed it into Greek name that reflected earlier Africans calling it by an African name, indicates both the respect that Greeks had for the names Africans had given to places in the world, as well as the fact that Africans had already named this world. Therefore, moving back in time to our original thinking, if anything, we should call the ocean that changed from being the Ethiopian to the Atlantic, also a Europeanized term, nothing other than the Comedic Ocean. This would be our historically consistent. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I am returning the world to its original name. Ashe. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I am returning the world to its original names. January 13th. When you fall, don't analyze where you have fallen. Analyze where you stumbled. Baba Hannibal Afrique. A tripped person can make multiple steps in a free-falling trajectory before finally landing on the ground. Intelligent individuals who have fallen look for what initiated it, not the end result. They look for the crack their soul got caught in, not the place where the hand skid them to stop. To do otherwise would be like looking at symptoms or outcomes as the cause of an illness or difficulty instead of its indicators of where to find it. African people must stop looking to the indicators of our plight to locate what caused us to fall so far from the grace of our ancestors. Knowing that we have the highest crime, incarceration, divorce, poverty, homelessness, and the lowest average educational attainment, incomes, and wealth, and the shortest and most pain-wrecked lifespans does not tell us the source of these problems. Let me read that last part over. Knowing we have the highest crime, incarceration, divorce, poverty, and homeless rates, and the lowest average educational attainments, income and wealth, the shortest and most pain-wrecked lifespan, does not tell us the source of these problems. We should know that any problem source must be understood in order to solve the problem. And even if we work to solve the problem, the solution is only temporary unless we correct it at its root. To find the root of our problem, we have to go back to the motherland where we first stumbled, not here. It is there that we stumbled over our own genius and misguided humanity, as well as the feet intentionally placed in our path by impolite aliens. They tripped us. It is because we have not come to grips with this, we rise only to stumble again. Ashe. Man, I love this brother, man. I love Baba Barudi. I love the Inyasasim. It is there that we stumbled over our own genius on the continent, on our motherland, and misguided humanity, as well as the feet intentionally placed in our path by impolite aliens. It is because we have not come to grips with this, we rise only to stumble again. Affirm, I look where we stumble to see why we have fallen and how to rise. Ashe. Affirm, I look there to see where we have stumbled and why we have fallen and how to rise again. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought and great wisdom. Ashe, 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 oh. Excuse me, family. Family, yes, I know. I said it. That we're going to talk about Exodus, and we are. We are. I had to take my grandson to a doctor's appointment and to school and so forth, and I'm up in traffic, so I didn't get here, but I'm on time. I am here. But so instead of talking about the Exodus, because I want to give some real good time to that subject, because the Exodus didn't happen in history. There was no Hebrews who were laboring in Kemet and building any damn thing, okay? There were no Hebrews in Kemet making bricks out of straw or bricks without straw. If you watched it. Now, hey, let me say this to you, family, and I've said this before if you listen to this program. I watched the Ten Commandments movie. I do. You know, in a few more months, it'll be April or whatever that time frame is, close to Easter. They always show the Ten Commandments movie because why? Easter is, you know, there's Passover in that, and it was the, you know, that time, you know. And of course, it was one of the movies I saw when my uncle was living in L.A., my mother's little brother, yeah. And he came to, Uncle Leslie came to Milwaukee and stayed with us, and I went to the movies with him, to the Ten Commandments movie, you know, 3 hours long when he had it. Had a intermission, yeah. And of course, it was in CinemaScope and censored around and Technicolor and all that bush. And of course, you know, it was captivating. But I've learned many, many, many years ago, since I became an African-centered individual, that what Europeans have consistently done. And that's all Europeans. I'm talking about the European Jews particularly. They lie. They lie. Why do they lie? Because they're liars. That's why they lie. They're liars. And so, you know, in reading up on it and finding out more and more in terms of what is true and what is not true based on our knowledge as Africans. And is there some things that we missed? Oh, you know it is, family. I just read you the Inyasasim that told us the mistakes that we made, how we stumbled. And we'll stumble again if we don't go to the root problem of it to correct it. But, you know, no. There was no Exodus. You know, the number of movies that have been made, the latest one I think was Christian Bale as Moses and this Arab dude playing Ramesses II, because supposedly it was Moses who encountered Ramesses II in the blockbuster film of Cecil B. DeMille in Technicolor, and surround sound and all that other shit. You have Yul Brynner. You know, you have Yul Brynner. And so Secretary Hardman has SETI. That's right, SETI. Father of him. And you know, and you are to believe that his daughter, you know, found a baby in a river and was raising it, and they chose it and then left it up to raising it as if it was a part of their family all the way into, you know, adulthood, and he was treated as a son, and he did this and he did that, you know. In fact, in the movie, Woody Strode's in the movie. He's in that scene where he said, "This is Ethiopia." You know, and they come in, they're drumming, African women dancing, and then the sister, the queen, you see Woody Strode standing next to her. He doesn't have a speaking part, but she comes and says, "This is for your prince," or whatever. "He is so kind." And of course, that makes Anne Baxter a little jealous. She wants Moses, Charlton Heston. Yeah. And so, of course, he finds out, you know, Jochebed, the servant, tells, in fact, she's killed. She's killed by Anne Baxter. She does not want Moses to find out that he is Hebrew. But he does, and he goes, and then he goes up to the Mount of Sinai and speaks to the burning bush speaks to him, tells him what his task is, you know, and that he should go. Well, you know the story. I ain't got to rehash the damn story, so I'll probably do it again. But anyway, there was no Exodus. It didn't happen. It is not historic. There was a conference about 30-some years ago, maybe close to 40, maybe. And I know one of the persons that were there, and I remember reading Brother Shekema, Ra'a Nefer Amon of the Osiris Set Society. He was in attendance of this particular conference, symposium, or whatever, you know. And they all came away agreeing that, no, it is not historical. It didn't happen. But we need an Exodus. We need an Exodus. Yeah. We need an Exodus, family. We need to get the hell up out of here. All African people who recognize, and believe me, y'all, it is not who I am as a man, as an African-centered man, a brother who's an American African, and if I was living in England, I'd be a British African. If I was living in Jamaica, I'd be a Jamaican African. I understand that Africa is the noun. Africa describes a person, place, or thing. That's what a noun is. It describes a person, place, or thing. There's a word that goes in front. Africa is a suffix. There's a word that goes in front of it, and that word helps describe the noun. And so I'm in America, so I'm an American African. If I was in Brazil, I'd be a Brazilian African. If I was in Ghana, I'd be a Ghanaian African. And there's many of us who don't want to be African. The issue of reparations. And then you have Adolfs. They don't believe they're African. They believe that they're indigenous to this land. They don't believe they're Africans. They didn't come here. They didn't come here on a boat. They were already here, they said. Well, humanity left out of Africa. So from the very fiber of yourself, you are African. Now, if you cross those mountains and you cross the things and you got into the Bering Strait and you still kept your Africanness, or just like Eskimos, somebody says, well, why are Eskimos still have dark skin? Because why? because they eat a lot of fish oil in their diet. So they still maintain some melanin in their skin, even though they were covered up almost all the time because of the harsh climatic conditions. Look at the history, and importantly, when we're talking about genetics, look at the science. So we went down into what is now called Alaska, what is now called Canada, into the Americas and branched off here and there and so forth. And then went into Mexico, and then that before they built the Panama Canal, which Donald Trump wants to take back. That dude is, and the Gulf of America, Donald Trump, that's a real, man, he exemplifies white privilege. He exemplifies white supremacy. He is a white supremacist. He is. To his core. That's how he was when I first saw him on television. And I said to somebody, this cat, I do not like this man. I've hated this son of a bitch. When he to me, the coup de grace was the Central Park Five. When he said, these cats, no, they still should be hung. They still should get the electric chair. Even though they were found. Now they're the exonerated five. When they're exonerated, he's still one of them. He's an evil man. He's a stanky, ugly-ass evil man. And this damn society allowed him to do what he did. And then again to become the president of the United States again. I hate this fucking country. I hate the mindset of the people in this country. I hate the hypocriticalness. How you like that word? The hypocriticalness of the people in this country, especially those in. And of course, I hate the fact that we have a system where people can amass tremendous amounts of wealth, even a few of us. So that's why we don't rail against the system. But I tell you, it was put towards people, particularly Caucasians, many years ago. Would you be in favor of a system where we would redistribute wealth equitably among people to make a more equitable society? They said no. They said no, because they believe that something's going to happen to them individually. Remember, family, America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. There's a poster of the westward expansion. And when I see that woman that goes flying across the West, that's what conjures up in my mind. The rugged individualism, materialism, the greed, and the violence of what they've done. Oh, but see, if you're a Caucasian, you romanticize about how good they were and the things that they did. And of course, the justification of what they did. Because these people were less than human. If I could take their humanity away, I can easily do that. I can easily kill them. I can easily take their land. Yeah. Materialism and greed. So, yeah, we're going to definitely get off into that particular piece, family, on Exodus. And excuse me, family, because I definitely need some more time to make sure that I try to do my best to present the information to you that you can clearly understand, you know. And I know some of us, we believe the Bible. We've been trained to believe the Bible. that the Bible is the infallible word of God. The infallible word of God. There's no contradictions in it. Just that or the other. All the stories, all the fables. You name all the freaked out shit that's in it. All of it. It is true. It is historical. The Noah story, the Adam and Eve story, the talking story, all of it. It is all true. The burning bush, all of it. It is all historical. It's factual. In fact, it says here, weapons of African destruction. These are the weapons family of African destruction. Number one is religion. And I ain't just talking about Christianity, which I rail a lot against. Islam. You know, if your religion is so good, to me, you should be able to present it to me and, of course, have some factual things. And if you say it's historical, have some historical things. And you present it to me, you know, in a way that I understand it and in a way that you respect me as a man. And if I internalize it, I say, you know what? I agree with that. That's good. I think that is good. And I think that's good for all. So I'm going to embrace that. No. These religions were forced upon us through the threat of death. The same thing with Islam, through the threat of death. Now, of course, Judaism don't look for converts because they're the controlling factor between Islam and Christianity. You know, in fact, Judaism, the tie is Abraham, you know, through both Christianity and Islam. Through Abraham, Islam is the son that God told Abraham to have with his wife Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and he has a son, Ishmael. And then God said, you know what? This ain't working out too cool. Tell Hagar and her son, you know, to get up out of here. I will protect them. I ain't going to let them go out into the desert like that, you know. And so they did that. And, of course, Hagar and Ishmael became a multi-nations of many people, and that's Islam. And, of course, Sarah had a son, you know, Isaac, and then Isaac had twins, you know, in the womb, Jacob and Esau, you know. Okay, and so out of Jacob and his sons, Not necessarily out of Esau, out of Jacob and his sons. It's Joseph, and of course out of Joseph comes Jesus and the Christianity tie. So that's what they say, right? That's what they say. Okay, that's religion. Number two, weapons of African destruction, man-made food. Processed food. Not the stuff that you grow. Not the stuff that comes from the garden, not the fresh stuff, no. You know, processed food. Number three, man-made medicine, as opposed to taking the roots and the berries and so forth and the juices and, you know, pills. I take some medicine myself, man. Hate it, you know. And the fourth thing, European educational system. The imposition of the European educational system that we all take, even on the African continent. The imposition of the European educational system, believing that what they have developed is the most correct. When we know that these people are what? A bunch of liars. The truth ain't in them. So those are the weapons of African destruction. Religion, man-made food, man-made medicine, and European educational system. Yeah. So we're going to deal with that. Not that. We're going to deal with that when we talk about the Exodus. Yeah. Because there's a reason why I'm saying we have to have an Exodus. And I will begin to bring the information to you of why. And I know some of us may not want to hear it, don't want to believe it. I know this. I understand that. Yeah. Oh, let me say this too for those brothers and sisters who are out there. You know, I always promote Baba Baruti Eurasian course. Baba Baruti and has a course from 7:30 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday, starting February 5th through the 6th. Adults $35, okay, and adults $60, youth $35. And the pertinent information is, you know, Eurasian course, and you can go through PayPal, Yah Baruti at Yahoo, Cash App, $Yah, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, BARUTI. Okay. I'll announce more of that. Talk about that. I want to see if I can get Baba Baruti on soon. So. Okay. The fires in L.A. I've been a firefighter for over 30 years in the city of Milwaukee. Somebody asked me about, you know, wildfires, grass fires, you know, large-scale structural fires, large fires, multiple alarm fires, all of that stuff. And, you know, not to the extent of what happens in L.A. and other parts of the country where they have massive wildfires, you know, where you're out there for hours and hours and hours. In the city of Milwaukee, they don't have that. There are grass areas. And, of course, there's one in the northwest side. And there's a game preserve in that area. And they had a fire there. And they had a wind change. And the fire was coming at me. And, yeah, I ran. Yeah, you damn right I ran. Shit. So I can get a better position so I can fight it. Because I was with a corn broom. See, didn't need water. Until somebody said, hey, put some water. We did have a couple of hoses out. And Jam said, put some water on that, man. Shoot. Beat that down. Yeah, fire. Now there's 24 people dead. Stayed fire for quite a few days. Now there's 24 people dead in the Southern California fires of 2025. And now, I didn't know all the particulars about what was happening, but let me tell you, Brother Keith Boykins has been doing a lot of good commentary. He really has. Brother Keith Boykins has been doing a lot of good commentary. And he even has a website. Let me play a couple of pieces, and we'll have them for discussion. Then after the break, then we'll open the lines up for you to discuss them. Let's play this one first.
It's day three of the devastating wildfires here in L.A. Five people have died and thousands have lost their homes. But sadly, the right-wing media are using the tragedy to score political points and spread misinformation. This happened because of DEI, and the fire chief is a lesbian, and the mayor was partying in Africa, and the fire department won't hire white men, and the mayor cut the fire department budget. No, 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 no. And... No. First, DEI did not cause these fires or prevent firefighters from responding. Second, L.A. City Fire Chief Kristen Crowley is the first LGBTQ fire chief in the department's history, but the L.A. County Fire Chief, with a much larger area to cover, is a white man. Third, Mayor Karen Bass was taking part in President Biden's official delegation to attend the inauguration of the President of Ghana and flew back home immediately. No one knew there was going to be a major fire just because there was an elevated risk. Fourth, yes, the fire department still hires a lot of white men. And fifth, the $18 million budget cuts in an $837 million budget did not cut firefighters, but left administrative jobs unfilled and cut the overtime budget, and still left actual fire spending projected to exceed the amounts budgeted for the fiscal year. No elected official is ever beyond critique, but many of these attacks are simply designed to make a black woman the fall guy for long-term budgetary and infrastructure issues facing the city and deeper climate and environmental issues facing the country. Remember, Republicans used the same DEI argument when a cargo ship hit a bridge in Baltimore, when a train derailed in Ohio, when a plane door blew open in midair, and when a bank collapsed in Silicon Valley. It's time to stop using these tragedies as an excuse to attack women and people of color. What caused these fires was not woke policies, but a perfect storm of weather and climate conditions. We had strong Santa Ana winds on Tuesday and dry land after virtually no rain all year. Part of the challenge, according to experts, is fighting wildfires with urban water systems that were designed for homes and businesses, not to stop tens of thousands of acres from burning in the wild. And part of the challenge is that as humans continue urbanizing more of the planet, we're literally building into nature, disrupting the natural ecosystem, and exposing ourselves to natural disasters. About 85% of wildfires are started by humans, according to the U.S. Forest Service, most because of accidents like campfires and sparks from power lines. Even with an $800 million budget and 3,200 uniformed personnel in the L.A. City Fire Department and nearly 5,000 personnel in the L.A. County Fire Department, it's still not enough to fight Mother Nature in the wild. L.A. County has 10 million residents. That's more people than 40 of the U.S. states. And we're all surrounded by dry hills and forests. Yesterday, I thought I was far away from the fires, but the Sunset Fire in Hollywood Hills erupted early in the evening in Runyon Canyon, which is very close to me. The fire department issued an evacuation warning for my neighborhood last night, and after a few hours, firefighters were able to get it under control, and evacuation orders were lifted just before midnight. The speed and effectiveness of last night's successful campaign here in Hollywood contradicts the right-wing attacks about woke policies ruining the fire department. It's even more impressive that fire officials had the resources to contain the fire last night because they're fighting five major fires across LA County at the same time. So instead of using this disaster to bring out the worst in people, let's bring out the best. Let's thank the thousands of dedicated firefighters trying to keep us safe. Let's applaud the heroes who saved a neighbor's home by climbing on a ladder and dousing a burning tree with water.
We just got the ladder and then we tried to get as close to it, and then we were on the roof as well trying to just get it better vantage point of the whole situation.
And let's remember 66-year-old Victor Shaw, who died holding a fire hose trying to defend his home. But let's not use this tragedy to blame one person for all of society's problems.
And I tell you, it is tough. It's extremely difficult. Firefighting is a serious occupation, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it that way.
First, it was Daniel Penny. It's day three of the.
Let me get this straight, okay, family? This is the other piece I want to play. This is the after piece that I want to play, and then we'll have a discussion. And we'll be able to take a break and then come back for more conversation.
This week's media narrative on the LA fires has been driven by race, class, power, and privilege. It's a tale of two fires. The Palisades Fire on the west side of LA County with a wealthy, overwhelmingly white population.
Inclusion, diversity, equity.
And the Eaton Fire on the east side of LA County with a diverse, multiracial population and a historic black community. Both fires are still raging this weekend, but only one is creating a national political debate. And you can guess which one it is. It begins with the Palisades Fire on the west side. L.A. Fire Chief Kristen Crowley, who was appointed 9 months before Karen Bass became mayor, told CNN's Jake Tapper this week,
The $17 million budget cut did and has and will continue to severely impact our ability to repair our apparatus.
This comment played right into conservatives' hands, and they quickly seized on the fire chief's remarks to attack L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. But the truth is that an additional $17 million in the fire department's $800 million budget would not have stopped the Palisades fire. How do we know?
And even with an additional 100 engines, I tell you, we were not going to catch that fire.
L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney made a similar point about the issue of water pressure and the fire hydrants.
And the water system really isn't designed for a large-scale, ongoing firefight like the one that we just experienced here in Los Angeles County.
In fact, CNN interviewed more than a dozen experts, and they said that no fire hydrants would have been able to battle fires of the magnitude of those in L.A. this week, particularly when air resources such as helicopters and fixed-wing aircrafts were grounded due to the wind. I don't know a water system in the world that is prepared for this type of event, said one expert. How else do we know? Because the Palisades fire started in the city of Los Angeles, but the Eaton fire broke out on the same day in Altadena, outside the city of L.A., but still in L.A. County. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has no jurisdiction over the Eaton fire, but it's still burning. So why hasn't L.A. County been able to contain its fires with fully functioning fire hydrants, no reported budget cuts, no black woman mayor, and no lesbian fire chief? That's because it wasn't budget cuts, fire hydrants, lack of water, protecting an endangered fish, a traveling mayor, DEI, woke policies, or any other right-wing explanations that caused these fires to spread so rapidly. It was Mother Nature. As Liz Corquet Lasagna explains, shifting the blame to the mayor diverts our attention away from the real issues of urban planning, budget realities, climate change, and our addiction to fossil fuels. But despite a withering week of attacks on the mayor and the fire chief, Democrats had no clear message to the public to respond to the accusations. It took until Saturday morning before they finally cleared things up.
That Mayor Bass, Chief McDonald, and I are in lockstep together.
But as conservatives prepare to take over the entire federal government this month and launch their long-planned assault on diversity, equity, inclusion, and the truth, the left has to move far more quickly to insert truth and facts into the 24/7 news cycle before the right pre-programs people's minds. It's time to adapt to the new reality where lies spread faster than wildfires.
So, understand something, family. Understand something. This ugly divisiveness from the Republicans, and you hear how Donald Trump constantly belittles and berates people. He's just so damn terrible. It's ridiculous. And it, I mean, he's sloppy, see, because he's nasty and ugly. He's sloppy with his shit. Fonnie Willis had a slam dunk down in here in Georgia. Fonnie Willis had a slam dunk on his ass. You hear him on the phone with the Secretary of State and his weak ass, Raffensperger, whatever it is. But you hear Donald Trump says, all I need is 11,000 votes. That's all I need, one more than I need. Telling him to find these votes so I can win Georgia. But Fonnie Willis had a relationship. She should have kept that on the... until you get this cat, then you come out and do what the hell you want to do. You know you got to dot I's and cover T's. She's still trying to adjudicate the case. She was kicked off. Don't know what's going to happen, but still, I did nothing wrong, Trump. Just like everything else, I did nothing wrong. And had she not done that? But even at that, you can see that things that he has said, these Caucasians, these ignorant, stupid-ass crackers. See, what's funny to me, the educated people, period, whoever they may be, should be enough to disqualify his ass because he has the oligarchs, he has the rich people, that 1%, he has them because why? That's what he did the bidding for. So these folks could get the tax cuts at the expense of everybody else. And then he has his MAGA folks. These are some ignorant-ass people. These are some dumb son of a bitches. They are. I don't know. I've been listening to them for the last 5 years at his rallies. And they talk about him with such reverence and all that he has done. He didn't qualify way back in 2016. He didn't qualify. And he won. Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. She was deeply flawed. I wouldn't vote for her ass for dog catcher. Well, I wouldn't vote for crackers anyways, too. So that was, I wasn't going to do that anyway. But still, I wouldn't have voted for her. And then he messed all that up. He messed up and said some really ignorant, stupid stuff about the pandemic. He messed all of that up. Almost a million deaths because of the pandemic in this country alone. Yes, I do know that Caucasians were adversely affected because in the populations in Europe where many died, there were older population with a lot of preconditions as it was here in other parts. Caucasians were adversely affected by this. I'm quite sure they wish that wasn't the case. They wish that the most people who were dying would have been us. And so people still, after all the things, well, maybe you can inject some bleach. I remember some of the doctors just putting their hands in their heads, covering their faces. And, oh, God. Get the mic from this asshole. Just give me that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen of the United States. This is a fool. I wish it would have been, nah, I shouldn't say that. But, oh, yeah, I'm going to say it. I wish his ass would have died from it when he caught it. But then again, he might have caught it. He might have just said they caught it. But I mean, a lot of people caught it and didn't die from it. Let's be real about that. It wasn't an automatic death if your ass got it. People in my family got it. But there were people who got it that I think would have and should have. But they did. They died. They died. I know 10 people personally who died. And they died early on. One of the earliest folks who died that I know was Lawrence Riley. He's a classmate of Rufus King and a firefighter as well. Good brother. Lenny Wells, former police captain. He was living in Mississippi, I believe. Came here to check on some property, caught it. 2 or 3 days later, he died. Yeah, they may have. And I think that Lawrence had some heart issues, you know. I've had breathing issues. I've had breathing issues for quite a few years, you know. And of course, COVID is respiratory. COVID is something that, just like AIDS, you don't die from AIDS. You don't die. No, you don't. You don't die from AIDS. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. No, you die because your body's immune system is deeply depleted and it can't fight off nothing. There's a cancer that they get. There's a respiratory illness that they get, all kinds of stuff. That's what you die from. He died from AIDS. No, he didn't die from AIDS. He got AIDS, and that caused his immune system to be whack. And he died from cancer. He died from a respiratory disease. He died from pneumonia, which is a respiratory disease. I've had pneumonia many times, and that ain't no joke. Let me take a break. Come back from the break. open up the phone lines. So you heard the piece by Keith Boykins. And you heard him talk about how they want to blame, particularly the right-wing Republicans, this and that. Shit. Don't you remember when the asshole was president, he talking about they need to sweep the ground floors? Because, you know, California gets grass fires, wildland firefights. Been going on for probably decades. And Trump's saying, this man is an idiot. He's an idiot. Okay, Oshie, tell us how you really feel. All right, family. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Oh, sorry about that. Let me finish with a proper ending. I don't know what the hell that was. But that happens. Okay.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tang. Welcome back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, okay. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And talk about what you want to talk about, but talk about the fires in L.A. Ah, here's a person I definitely would want to talk to, and that's a brother who lives in L.A., who's also a firefighter, Brother Irv. How you doing? Hold on, man. Hold on, Brother Irv. Brother Irv, how you doing?
How you doing, Baba OG?
I'm doing well, my brother.
Yeah, I'm doing good too, brother. Talking about the fires, man. They're not in the area where I am. I'm in the Long Beach area, so they're not in this area.
Okay, you're further south. You're further south.
Yeah, I'm a little. Yeah, and I'm about to water a little bit. I get some ash from the car the other day, and he smells it sometime.
Yeah.
But you know, anytime Arugu has some problems, excuse me, we're going to be affected as a people.
Oh yeah. If Urugu got a cold, we're going to have pneumonia. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, hell. Yeah. You ain't never lied, man.
Yeah.
You ain't never lied. And that's the truth. And so Altoona, it's an area called Eastern Altoona. Mm-hmm. A lot of American Africans live in that area.
Okay.
I don't know their mindset. I'm not going to ever predict what American Africans are thinking, but they're living, they're this forced assimilation. And the integrationists, they want to live near Urugu.
Sure.
So they get there. So when Urugu has a fire, they have a fire.
Mm.
You know, you're right up under them. You ain't leaving. The thought of leaving and going to your homeland doesn't cross your mind.
Sure.
The thought
you're
of
right.
having a dual citizenship doesn't cross your mind. The thought of even making a pilgrimage to where your ancestors are from doesn't even cross your mind because you're not taught that.
No.
But the Jew is taught to go to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
The Muslim is taught to make the trek to Mecca and walk around a rock until you pass out. I'm not making fun of anybody, but I just don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but then a lot of things don't make sense to me. But this is one thing I do know, is that I'm African. Africa's in me. I've been to Africa. Not even if I haven't been to Africa, it's still in me.
I say.
So until we start to teach our children and the older people who want to learn, because there's a lot of older people who just have no direction.
Mm-hmm.
They listen, they get their news from CNN. They watch Fox News and they walk around as if they were informed. Too much news will make you crazy. You got to have some news so you can know what's going on.
Right, I agree.
But the misinformation, Baba Oshi, the misinformation is a business.
Yes.
You got white folks that can clear everything negative on your internet profile. So do you think they can manipulate the news that goes into your psyche?
Mm-hmm.
I not to change the subject, Baba Oshi, I saw a thing where the vice president woman, Kamala, swore the lady in, and Elliot spoke about this a little bit the other night. Swore the lady in, then she went to shake the hand of the guy, her husband.
Yeah,
he wouldn't shake her hand.
Right,
he wouldn't shake her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Baba Oshi.
When looking in the face, she just turned like she wasn't there. Yeah,
yeah, but she wasn't. In his mind, she didn't exist.
Right.
In his mind, she was not the second in command. She was not going to be the president. The president. God forbid, died or something like that, she would be the president of the United States.
Right.
He didn't have any respect for her. And this is the part that bothers me with my brothers who have the power. The guy, what's the boy? The boy from Congressional Black Caucus and Clyburn and all them cats. They saw that just like I saw it. But do you think any of them would step to him personally or say something publicly to protect their sister? No, because she's only a sister when I need her to be. You know, she only cooking greens in the bathtub when she's trying to get the vote. After that, she go back to eating, you know, whatever it is that she eats, you know, with the Jew that she's married to, because she speaks black in the daytime, but she sleeps white.
You know, so Listen to this. Her husband, who's a European Jew, now I heard something. I'd like to get some research, if somebody knows, but he is a big supporter of BlackRock. He helps, he's a contributor to BlackRock. And if you don't know who BlackRock is, BlackRock owns a lot of stuff, and they're undermining African program and African people, taking Africa's land. BlackRock, you know, does a multiple number of things, and he's, which is basically white supremacy to the nth degree. That's BlackRock. When you if you heard the Caucasians talking about, we're going to get these minerals out of Africa, we're going to do this, that, and we're going to deplete and decrease the population. That's BlackRock.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, if he is, he needs to be outed. He needs to be confronted. If he is a, now somebody, I heard it on one of the pieces, I don't know if it was Instagram or something like that, but, and I'm like, whoa, you know.
Okay, but well, BlackRock, I think, may have something to do with the hedge funds and the pension funds and into huge amounts of money.
Yes,
we're not talking about a mom and pop. We're talking about huge amounts of money. Mm-hmm. And so, when you got that kind of money, then you're financing a whole lot of things. So far as the weapons going to Israel and Israel's nuclear program.
Right.
Let's be clear. You're involved in huge types of projects and for her to marry, to dedicate her life to a Jewish man, then all of her generational wealth goes to his family, or at least part of it does. And that's and you know, that's keeping 100, Baba Oshi. Yeah. Ugugu only cares about money. Ugugu cares about how he lives, how his family. It's an eye with a Ugugu until it comes to us, you know, because they'll circle their wagons to take all the resources from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then they want you to be the I person. I made this. I did that. And then once one of us gets in so-called trouble, they want us to alienate that brother. Well, you know, he was always doing something. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see Bill Cosby back on TV. Why don't you want to see Bill Cosby back on TV? You sitting here singing the Star Spangled Banner, and that's the same song that the Ku Klux Klan sang when they had that Bible in their hand, when they was burning down your houses and trying to scare your ancestors. So no, Baba Oshi, I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it. And I think what has to happen is, like I said, the ones that want to know, be it children, be it adults, those are the people we have to rally around. Because I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, some people will fight you to the death to keep Urugu's way of life going.
Mm-hmm,
in other words, they don't know another way. If I made a movie right now called They Came Before Columbus, the African presence in ancient America, how many people you think would go see that movie? What do I want to see that for?
Yeah.
That's history. History is current events, stupid. History is current events. If you don't know your history, you're like a boat in the water.
That's right. No rudder. You can't.
No rudder.
You don't know. You at the whim of whatever wind.
Yeah.
You have no ability to steer your boat in the right direction. You're out there aimlessly.
Aimless. You're just out there. The wind blow right, you go right. The wind go left, you go left. If the white folks say homosexuality is okay, you okay with that. If they say it's bad next week, oh, you all right with that. You know, milk make your bones strong. Okay, I'm drinking milk. Oh, well, you know, milk will mess up your bones. Well, I ain't drinking milk. Because you're waiting for someone to give you instruction instead of you reading, understanding, and because God gave you the ability to for a free will. In other words, I appear that I can think for myself. I may not be able to do it, but I can think it. You don't even think it no more. You sitting here waiting for me to tell you who's going to win the Oscar. You know you won the Oscar last year. I can give a damn. I give a damn what movie was on, what educational show was on. That's all movies are. They tell you what to wear, when to wear it, where to go, who to be with, how much money you're supposed to have, what you're supposed to drive. In other words, I'm trying to get the point across to my people that Irugu is instructing you.
Right.
And you can get your instructions from your brother, from your aunt. It's all written in Egypt, Africans. And they wrote it in stone. And I keep saying that because they wrote it so that you don't have to. You ain't got to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to wonder what words mean, because not only did our ancestors write it, they gave you the definition. Okay? I know what menticide means. They gave you the definition of that. But see, you living in your shame-based alliance, amen? Amen just means you agree.
Right.
You never get to the preacher.
Living in a shame. The oppressed in the league with the oppressor. Living in a shame-based alliance. That's bad, ain't it, man? But that's real. But Brother Irv, that's real. That is real.
Yeah.
It's a funny quote because it's deep, because, you know, because you should be shamed to be in alliance with these folks doing what they're doing to you on a constant basis, and you are not challenging, you're not challenging yourself to challenge it. Because, see, my contention is this, brother. You don't challenge them. Hell with them. You challenge yourself to step outside of the imposed boundaries that they put on you. Now you look at them for who and what they are, and you say, damn, I'm going in this direction. I'm moving in this direction. I'm elevating my people this way. You know, that's what you do. You begin that separation. Mm-hmm. You don't, no longer do you crave anything that Urugu has. Anything. In fact, if he has something, you don't want it. Whatever it is. You know, see, but.
No, you're right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you're right. You're absolutely right, Brother Oshie. I saw this thing that said, California strong, Baltimore strong.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I went and got a T-shirt made,
yeah,
and I put the faces of Maui, Chad, and Burkina Faso's, and I put the three kings.
Right on.
And I put their picture. I put their picture, and we have to support those brothers.
Yes.
We have to support those brothers at all costs. I mean, you're sitting there sending money to the St. Jude Hospital, Save the Children, and the Good Ship Hope. We need to send money to Burkina Faso to let them know, to let this brother know that he is, because he's taking over the reins from a brother who was assassinated.
Yeah.
I think his name was Thomas.
Sankara. Thomas Sankara, Corey. Man. Thomas Sankara.
Sankara.
Yeah, Thomas Sankara was outstanding, brother. He was just like him. And I feared for Thomas Sankara. And I knew that, you know, that somebody would try to kill that man, you know,
and
he was staunch.
He said, from what I understand, his best friend, who was second in command, he said, if it's him that's going to kill me, then I will die. Because he knew that guy was so close to him, if anybody could get next to him, it was him. And if he was going to be betrayed by someone, let me be betrayed by who he thought was a friend. And the guy killed, and he killed him. He assassinated him, from what I understand. But the guy's life could not have gone up from there. It went nowhere from there. As a matter of fact, I don't know his name. Or even what happened to him. But Baba Oshie, when you're dealing with Irugu, Irugu wants you to turn on each other, wants you to be separate.
Yes.
What's that word we said the other day? We're not all monolithic. What the hell that mean? That means y'all
we're one.
What about you?
We're one. We need to be, as African people, in dealing with the all the things that are coming at us, all the vitriol, all this deception and imagery of ignorance and how we are not this and we are not that. We need to be one. Unity is the first and foremost thing that we need to generate. When you look at Kwanzaa, the first thing in Kwanzaa is unity. That's underlined and permeates throughout the whole celebration, because we need unity.
That's right.
Need unity, you know? And so, you know, when you look at the Pan-African Federalist Movement, what are they advocating? What are they talking about? Unity. One Africa. Not 54 so-called sovereign states, because they're not. And just recently, Nigeria is cutting a deal with France. To hell with France. I can't stand France. The damn French has been all the time one of the greatest exploiters of us. Now, I know there's this perception, Brother Irv, about France, particularly years ago, because of the racism throughout the rest of the world, that we would go to France and go to Paris and play jazz and be amongst the people and mess around with the French women and stuff like that, you know. So France was so-called cool. No, France ain't never been cool. France, never. The French are manipulators. They're underminers. They're still today, even with all of the people fighting for liberation and fighting for to end colonialism, the same colonists, the same colonialists, particularly in West Africa, is the French. It's the French. And then when they talk about shithole countries, France would be a shithole country if they did not exist. France is dependent on Africa's downfall and on Africa's resources. If what makes the lights go on is the city of lights, Paris, the city of lights. What makes the lights go on and we can't have no damn lights in Africa?
If you look at the history, Charles de Gaulle after World War II, he was instrumental in keeping the colonies going in France. Let's be clear. France is not the only country to have colonies in Africa, but what they've done, most of them have toned it down. But France wants it to be like it used to be.
Right.
We're not going to, you know, we ain't changing for nobody. We're going to keep sucking your resources out, and you're going to keep sending us your money to put in our bank. And the lady was talking the other day from the ADDI organization in Africa. She said, we're still sending money to Paris. Mm-hmm. We're still using the francs in this country.
Right.
And the language over here, the national language is French. How do you have the national language in Africa, French?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like American Africans over here running around here putting on these clothes and thinking they look, man, I look good in my suit. Mm-hmm. You look good in your European clothes. You really believe you look good. You've been colonized to the point where you really think you look just like Irugu. I look better than you, and you'll never be Irugu. You're African. You got Africans in Africa. Oh, my child speaks English as good as any Englishman, and she's proud of that.
Yeah.
You don't even know your native language. We over here don't even. I'm sorry, I can speak Swahili. You can't even spell Swahili. So let's stop it. We're praising something that doesn't praise us back.
Well, we're also praising something that really is to our detriment. That is something that is ultimately going to kill us, you know. And yet we don't know all of the details because of our ignorance. And ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. You know, to stay ignorant, that's a problem. But to be ignorant, no, that just means that you don't know. But God damn it, once you know, that's why they say that, if they knew better, they do better. You've probably heard that, right? If they knew better, they do. Well, a lot of times they don't want to know, because if they know, that automatically they have to do better, because you've been informed. You've been enlightened. So you know better. And so now you should do better. You should change your behavior. You should change your language. You should change the way that you move in the society, because you know better. But many times we don't want to know, because we still rather be in this waddle on in this all this filth and muck and mire and all the Urugu spit and pus and blood and waddling and all this stuff.
Right.
You know.
No, you're right. But Baba Oshi, when you have to, when you know better and you have to do better, therein lies the pain.
Right.
Let's be clear, Baba Oshi, don't nobody at a party or television want to sit here and talk about how France is exploiting Africa. Nobody wants to talk about that. We want to talk about what Trump's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about the National Black Caucus convention. We don't want to talk about what's going on in our homeland, because You want to sit here and listen to these Jews tell you about their so-called homeland that they took. See, nobody wants to talk about that conference they had where they took that land from them folks. But you also don't want to talk about the conference they had when they sliced up Africa.
Right.
They had a conference. They talked. This ain't happened haphazardly. This is by design. And this is, and what Arugu knows is that nothing is going to last forever, not even you. And they know that this situation that they have in Africa is coming to an end. And the end came when the information highway came through the continent. You know, Africans have always been able to communicate from one end of the continent to the other. They've always been similar to the Native American. Beating on a drum, you can hear it, and you beat it, and he can hear it. Africans communicate. Africans have a spirituality. Africans have a God. There's an African way. But when you bring a Rugu in to tell you how to pray, what to pray to, I'll use my money. Your brother is not your. When you got black men going to Haiti to fight other black men, Baba Oshie, that is the worst. And you don't see Jews going to fight Jews. You don't see that. You know, and this is the part that bothers me with us. We sit here and let Arugu change our mindset to the point where we think, man, I know I look good. I know I'm doing right. You don't know anything.
Right.
And you refuse to read only what they give you to read. There's no African studies. And if it is, it's taught by a white woman. You got some white man, Wise, or some white woman, Miss Elliot, trying to tell you how black you are, you know, And they make good points. I'm not saying they don't say things that resonate with me.
No, I agree. I agree that Jane Elliott and Wise, what's his name? Not Phil Wise. What's the called?
I forget his name.
Yeah, Wise.
White man.
White man. But no, and they do, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have made big money, you know, on the circuits and so forth, selling this, doing that, you know. Talking about our plight, you know, and because a lot of us won't listen to us. But when the white man said, "Oh, well, really? Oh, really? We've treated, you know."
I didn't know that. I didn't know that, white man. You showed it enlightening me.
That's right.
Do I have to be to work tomorrow at 8? Because you're working for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't teach you to start a business. They teach you to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach you to work here till I can open my own.
I tell you, man, it's just ridiculous.
Give you a watch and a couple dollars and job well done, because you sent all my kids to school. Matter of fact, you built that house I got up here and the one down in Florida, because you worked like a beaver. And the book that I gave you told you, ain't nothing wrong with a good day's work. Well, why ain't the white man doing a good day's work? Why is the white man always the supervisor? Even in the businesses that are run by the government, you see they give their friends and family the promotions.
Sure.
I've seen this, Baba Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
This guy on my job about as smart as a bag of tato chips. He don't know how to cross the street in the daytime by himself. And he got a supervisor.
Yeah. That's it. If I own it and I run it, I'm going to put the people I want in place,
right?
No matter how incompetent they are, and they are, you know,
right?
No matter how incompetent they are, because I run it, you know.
Look
who Trump has brought in when he came in 2016. Look who he's bringing in now. You know, many of these people are totally incompetent, totally not prepared and qualified for these positions that he's appointing them to. And now the confirmation for these individuals is happening this week, you know, and some of them will meet a stiff challenge, but a lot of them will be appointed, you know.
No, all of them will be appointed. Let's be perfectly clear, Bob Oshie. The man before him, which is Biden, he in there with a bunch of guys dressed in dresses.
Yeah.
And dressed in dresses, and he got, I'll put a black woman in, this liberal black woman, and she's fine with whatever he says. She's supposed to be impartial. She's a Supreme Court judge. And he puts in people that think like him. Trump puts in people that thinks like him.
Right.
But see, Trump don't need you to think. Trump just needs you to follow.
Right.
You got to remember, this guy is a narcissist to the umpteenth degree. Biden was a narcissist to a point. He toned it down. because he wanted to give the impression that I didn't write that crime bill that sent all your brothers and sisters to jail forever. Mm-hmm. Okay? But we're supposed to have a short memory. We don't remember all that. It's like we don't remember slavery. We don't remember that. That was back in ancient times. That don't apply right now. If it don't apply, why are you speaking English? Yeah. If it don't apply, why are you wearing that GQ suit? It does apply. Slavery affects us right now. That's why we think the way we think. Now, I ain't going to no Africa. They jumping on trees and monkeys and stuff. Who told you that? Where did you get that from? You got that from Arugu. Arugu told you that. He showed you cartoons. He had to show you that. That's why we have Superman. When you going to have a black Superman when you make one? That's when you're going to have it. So stop asking for reparations. Demand reparations. Ugu is not going to give you anything. You're going to constantly be in a fight. Because when you're fighting Baba Osho, you can't eat. When you're fighting, you can't go to the bathroom. The fight takes precedence over everything. And that's what Ugu wants you to be doing, running around here fighting. So now you're fighting each other. You're fighting this. You're fighting that. Hold it. What's the objective here, Baba Oshi? Ugu, the mind is what he wants. He doesn't want you to your physical. He ain't going to punch you in the face. He can call me all the N-words he wants.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them, because eventually I'm going to smack him. But you call me all the N-words you want. N-word doesn't bother me. See, I get beat up when I go in the bank, and you got $200,000 to $300,000 in your bank account, and I'm sitting here going from paycheck to paycheck and got children to raise. So, no, brother, what they've done, if they has roped us and laced us into a shame-based alliance with them. And I do feel shame when I see them.
I do.
I feel shame for myself.
Yeah,
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you white people because you're never, ever going to get what it is that you're trying to get. Because what you want, if you want to know the real deal, you want to be me.
Me, and you can't
You can't even go out in the sun without getting tan.
Right.
You know, you want to be me. So now you've turned all that deflection to your animals. Oh, I got to save my 12 dogs. What you in there with all these dogs for? Well, I'm cats, and I'm serious. You hit, mess up with a dog or a cat, I'm on the airplane. It seemed like it was more people with dogs on the plane than handbags. I'm like, what are we doing here? Why? And no one says anything because, Baba Oshi, we don't have the power to change a damn thing.
No, not
we
here.
We get the crumbs.
Yeah, not here.
We get, but that's not here. We get the crumbs to fall off the table, and we happy with the crumbs.
Yeah.
Baba Oshi, let somebody else talk brother. For a second.
Brother Irv, I appreciate you, man. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
love you, dear brother. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Good afternoon, dear brother.
Good afternoon, Grand Rising.
Great Grand Rising.
How you doing,
man.
Baba Oshi?
I'm well. What about you? Do you have a good weekend?
Oh, man. Well, very reflective time for me, but yeah, it's all good, Brother Ochis. All good. As usual, the general, Big Brother Irv, is on point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Irv be bringing it, man.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
We know the fire is secure in his hands. You know, nothing can actually burn down in his hands. So, you know, it's all good.
Did you hear the first half of the program when I talked about the LA fires?
Yeah, I did, Baba Oshi. Okay. I did.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I know you're that's your expertise in that system there. But everything you said was right. In actual fact, you got me thinking about something quite local. Where I live in East London, but there's a part of East London which we were told was sold off to the Chinese, yeah? I think that deal kind of, during the COVID time, it kind of fell off. But they've done a massive amount of building over there, these new flats and all these new developments, you know, the similar things which you see there. But, you know, previous to that, you had the Ford company. That area, there's an area known as Dagenham. And it was one of the major places where Ford set up his operations. So that whole area, they were producing Ford cars for years. They're kind of slimmed down now because obviously the structure's changed. But that area is known for that. And it runs right up to the River Thames. But, you know, growing when I moved down closer to the walls, this area, we always knew that area to be, they call that area the floodplains. Because, you know, as I was growing up, there was always the worry that the Thames would flood and it would flood London. So they put up this thing they called the Thames Barrier. How effective it is, I don't know, because it's never really been put into use. I mean, I've been there and I looked at it and I always wonder how that would really stop the water if it really wanted to flood those areas. But a lot of those areas was always known as floodplain. You had a lot of industrial places over there. When Thatcher came in, she pulled a lot of them down and started building up all these high tower places, put all these big banks there. But the thing is, right, the truth of the matter is, them areas, not because they were known as floodplains, they still are floodplains. And they've built so many things over there, yeah? And the reality of it is that if it, when the time comes, which it will come, you know, I mean, the water, you can't restrain water. Water's going to run where it's going to run. You can't stop it. And the earth is on the move and everything has to change, you know. And this is what I've said to you before. This is why when I hear this thing, climate change, the reality of it is change is inevitable. The planet is traveling. It's moving. No one ever questions why. I mean, no one ever, it's mind-boggling to me how nobody even raises the subject. If you drain the oil from the earth, what the hell do you think is going to be the effect? No one even actually tells you why the oil is there. The oil ain't there because it just by some big mistake. There's nothing in the planet is there for a mistake. It's there for a reason. And you're there with all your wisdom and intelligence draining out the oil, and you think it's not going to have an effect? And you know the tricky of this nonsense? They got us looking up in the sky and thinking that, oh, there's a hole in the sky. That's where it's coming from. It's not coming from there. I don't accept that one bit. It's coming from the earth because the oil is there to keep, is a coolant. It's there to keep the oil, earth cool because at the center of the earth, it's burning hot, just like the sun. And you're there draining off the oil in all your wisdom and your talk about technology and all this nonsense. And now we're paying the price. But you still got us looking up in the air. This is the trickery and the deceit of these people. I mean, come on. You're draining the oil out the earth and you think it's not going to have an effect? I hear in the 1950s, that place where you live called America, you drained out all the oil. Yeah, that's why you're going around the world robbing it. Right. You know what I mean? Going to Saudi Arabia, told you about Arabia and want to overthrow people and take their oil and depleting the planet. And now you're looking for other planets, Mars and all these places, because you know exactly what you're doing. And you've got the people so tricked up and fooled up. But that's what I think when you say that. I mean, they just got us in a state of total confusion talking about climate change. Change is inevitable. And if you do the things that you're not supposed to do, right, of course you're going to pay the price. And we're going to pay the price. So what's there to be surprised at? Another thing, Baba Ochi, you mentioned BlackRock, yeah? Have you ever heard of a man called Adebayo Ogunlesi?
No.
Adebayo Ogunlesi, yeah, in last year in January, yeah, one of the biggest deals, corporate deals, was done between his company, Global Infrastructure Partners, and Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. And what's interesting, I know him, well, I heard of him. I don't know him, obviously, right. But I heard of him because he owns Gatwick Airport. That's where I know him from, because a lot of the time you'd hear people on these radio programs phone up and say, oh, Adebayo, the billionaire who owns, Adebayo Ogunlesi, who owns Gatwick Airport. But, you know, a few, like last week, I was doing some research on him, you know, as I do, you know. And he actually owns three airports in England. He owns an airport near me, City London, Gatwick, and... I think it was one in Scotland. But he and Larry Fink, Adebayo Ogunlesi and Larry Fink, used to work at First Boston, right? And his company is a type of property investment company. And he is actually, the mere fact that you've never heard of him, I mean, he like I said, January, him this Nigerian and Larry Fink done one of the biggest deals in world history in January last year. And I just find it interesting as you talk about BlackRock owning all, you know, buying up Africa and all the rest of it. And here's this African, multi-billionaire, who works in partnership with Larry Fink that you've never heard of. Most people have never heard of.
No, I've just seen it about Larry Fink, the most powerful man in finance, you know, and a few others. And I was not hip to it. I heard of Black Rock. I thought Black Rock was a like a paramilitary. That's part of who they are. Oh, yeah. You know.
No, you're getting them confused with the other operation. I can't remember what they're called, but it sounds similar.
Yeah, but no, BlackRock is a takeover. They're monetary takeover of the world. You know. Yeah. Here, let me play this particular piece right quick. It's only a couple of minutes. So at least we know who, for the listeners, when you talk about BlackRock, who they really are. Let us play this piece right here, Brother Paul.
There's a good chance you've never heard of BlackRock. Founded in only 1988, in less than 30 years, this American financial firm would grow to become the company that owns the world, managing assets worth $6.3 trillion. These are assets that belong to their clients, mainly the pension funds of ordinary people, teachers, police officers, nurses, and many more. And that's just the beginning. BlackRock has also developed a software platform called Aladdin to perform risk analysis for its clients. It receives sensitive data from banks, insurance companies, and other important institutions. Through Aladdin, BlackRock has insights about the management of financial assets worth another $20 trillion. BlackRock also has shares and voting rights in many of the biggest European companies, in sectors such as energy, oil and gas, transportation, food, and of course, finance. The company holds public debt in the form of bonds and has real estate interests. And still, there's more. Our rock, you see, wears many hats. Aside from being an investor, it is also an auditor and an advisor. Governments and central banks invite a BlackRock subsidiary called BlackRock Solutions to audit them and to provide advice about the management and rescue of banks. Yet at the same time, BlackRock is often a major shareholder in these same banks. In other words, the company often sits on both sides of the table. BlackRock Solutions gets privileged access to highly sensitive information, information that could be valuable to BlackRock itself. Does this constitute a conflict of interest? No, says BlackRock, which claims that the company has established Chinese walls between its different subsidiaries. In January 2018, BlackRock's founder and chairman, Larry Fink, sent a letter to all of the CEOs of the companies BlackRock is invested in, asking them to do more than deliver financial performance and make a positive contribution to society. So BlackRock not only owns the world, it also wants to save it?
Yeah. That reminded me of this time when I was watching the movie, The Omen. And when Damien was older, and it came to my understanding that the Caucasian puts himself as both evil and redeemer. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Everybody just plays to his song. And from that moment on, I know I can't go for that. That's bullshit. That he is all things, you know. And here you just heard, and that was just a snippet. If you go to BlackRock and you do a YouTube on BlackRock, you'll learn intricately who BlackRock is and what they do. You know, and the reason why I brought that up, because I heard that Kamala Harris's husband, the European Jew, that he is an investor into BlackRock. And I could see that. I'm not sure how he's an investor, but the bottom line is that we're investors. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, the truth of the matter is, right, it's somebody I've looked into. There's some really good stuff on YouTube. Like, there's a Chinese brother who done a whole history on Larry Fink, and I've watched it. And, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't found as yet anything which really ties me to that man being some evil whatever. I haven't found that, I'll be honest with you. But what I recognize, he was a First Boston, and he was a few other banks, and he fell out with them. He got what I understand from the story, he got thrown out because he lost a lot of money for one of the banks, and then he set up his operation. And I think where he found his legs is where he was quick to embrace the technology, what they call bots. You know, the technology, instead of working the markets manually, he embraced the technology to use the computer to actually work out the trades. And he embraced that. And that's how his company moved forward. I don't see a problem with that, because I see a lot of people in the industry I am. They're not quick to embrace things. They don't see the opportunities. Like, for instance, let me give you an example of what I'm seeing. You know, we run with the narrative, oh, AI is so bad, AI is this and all that. And that comes with all new technology. When the TV came in, people were frightened of the TV. They were frightened. When they saw the pictures, they fully didn't understand it and they didn't want to know. When the car first came in, people still rode horse and cart. Every technology come in, people behave the same way. But some people don't. But some people actually see the advantages of
and they embrace it. And they embrace it.
And when I look at him, that's what I learned from him. I realized that's what he did. He embraced it very quickly, and he used it to benefit him. Right. But I also think, you know, he's probably Jewish, and he's probably a part of the Zionists. Because the Zionists, the thing with the Zionists, yeah, they have a plan, and their plan is to control the world.
Exactly.
Okay?
Do you see something wrong with that? I do.
Well,
I see something innately something wrong with that when you don't have the empathy and sympathy of humanity, and you're willing to control everything, and you determine who lives, who dies, what they have and what they don't have. You know, hold on, Brother Paul. They work of the adage or the dictum, what's mine's is mine's and what's yours is mine's. You know? And so they go about, you know, undermining you, supplanting you, taking your stuff. I see something wrong with that. Okay.
No, you know, I hear that. I hear that. I absolutely hear that. And that's a phenomenal question. And to be honest with you, I don't want to sit on the sideline. It's a phenomenal question. My instant answer to you, and I might have to later on rethink about this, but my instant answer, do I see anything wrong with it? And no, I don't, to be honest with you. Because I feel that where I'm coming from is that we're not black because we are just born this color. We you know, we're just born and we talk about we're African and we just say that. That's not the reason for me. The reason is because I've always said this, our main role on this planet are the caretakers of this planet, and we are failing. We are failing miserably. In actual fact, we are following people who are absolutely less than us and calling them supreme, calling them all these nonsense titles and not recognizing our true role on this society. And this is what's happening around us. And we're still wondering what's going on. So do I have a problem with it? No, because in my book, we've allowed it to happen. And I'm not playing this thing, blame this, blame that. I ain't playing this, not in 2025 and from this time on. We have allowed a lot of these things to take place, okay? And I will always go back to Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization, because if people study that book, he actually tells you where we went wrong. And it's almost 6,000 years ago we've been going wrong, right? And he sets all his life work he dedicated to it. And you ask most people, they don't even know his name is even. That tells me we're not even paying attention. We're not even paying attention. People have done this work. Marcus Garvey came. He told us they are bluffing us. And we still don't wake up thinking that they're the problem. No, we're the problem. Okay? They told us. He said, they are bluffing you. And we still won't wake up to that. We still won't wake up to it. You know what I mean? Thinking that they're more powerful. No, yeah. So if someone else sees that you're failing, why shouldn't they step in and take power? Why shouldn't they? Okay? We are failing. Okay? When I walk down the street and I see nothing but Asian shop in an area where I know that there was a lot of us, and every business is Asian. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Every busted where I look. And I'm saying to myself, what
Brother Paul,
has happened here?
Come to the U.S. and you'll see the same thing in a predominant so-called community that we're dominated in, but the businesses are owned by those who are outside of our community. Right. You
now,
know?
Hear my problem with that, yeah? Hear my problem with that. I remember my own mother sending me to Mr. Jeffries, the Indian man, yeah? I remember, right? Now, I can't knock my mom. That's, you know, Mr. Jeffries, he smiled with her. treat her nice and all this sort of nonsense, yeah? But I remember as a kid thinking, how come we, as a child even thinking, how come we ain't got our own shops? Why are we always going to these people? I could see that as a child. I remember a black shop opened across the road, African man and a Caribbean woman, yeah? And when my mum sent me to Mr. Jeffries, I would go to them. And I had to pay a bit more, you know? And I was always hoping my mum wouldn't notice. I knew that as a child. So what was wrong with these adults? What was wrong with them? Okay? So I'm tired of this blame. Look, no one put a chain around our necks to go and support these people. I spoke to you about it before, and you said about convenience. And that's the same thing I hear people say over here, but it's a convenience store. I said, listen, we got to drop this convenience and get and bring in some discipline, right? Because they don't shop with us. They don't.
No. They don't buy a damn thing from us. They don't buy a damn thing from us.
We are the ones who are not disciplined. We're not disciplined. We will buy from every Tom, Dick, and bloody Harry. And then point the fingers, oh, it's him to blame. That one to blame. No, look in the mirror and you see who's to blame.
Okay, now here's...
Because you need to wake up.
Okay, here's your outrage.
That's the problem.
Here's your outrage, Paul, and I kind of agree with you to an extent. Because...
Hold on. I've been seeing it all my life.
Hold on, Paul.
All my life.
I'm over 70 years old, and I've seen it all my life. I've changed my mindset from when I was younger. When Dr. King and why can't we all get along? And I think there's some good white people, you know, that he marched with, and there's some good white people in the community.
It's not just white people, Bubba. Okay.
Hold on. Let me explain this. Let me say this. Europeans, Caucasians, white people took an idea that, you know what, we war amongst ourselves out of the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. When in Europe, there were no other Caucasians except there, Paul, except there. Then they said,
listen,
hold on, right, Paul, right, Paul, please. They said, you know, we war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together. These dark-skinned people, the Moors, these black people, they've been ruling Western Europe for almost 700 years, from 711 to 1492, I guess. We kicked the Sephardic Jews who are dark-skinned out. We kicked the Moors out. Now, we made war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And they began the exploration, but basically they began the expansion of Europeans, of Caucasians, not coming to bargain, not coming to buy, not coming to trade, but coming to take, with an idea and a mindset that they are superior. That they came with the religion, they came with the governance, they came with the current, all of that shit, and they dominated. And so what happened? Other people's mindsets were relegated to or kicked to the curb totally, or they were eliminated. The only people who have exercised genocide on this planet are Europeans, are Caucasians. There are many areas in the world where genocide in this hemisphere, in what is now Haiti and Dominican Republic, there used to be some Taino people there. They were totally wiped out. So I'm saying to you, Paul. Hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish. I'm going to let you have it, Paul. Let me finish. So what I'm saying is, what they have done is they put an exercise menticide on, particularly on our people, not so much other people on the planet, but the other people on the planet have acquiesced to a great degree because why? Europeans, Caucasians, have dominated. The calendar we use, the systems that we use, the forms of government that we use, the currencies that we use. You see what I'm saying? So, yes, I put the blame, Paul, where it squarely belongs, on their ass. Okay, go ahead.
Baba Ochi.
Yes, sir.
I just said to you, you talked about Larry Fink, right? And you said what you think he does not right. But I just told you of an African Nigerian who just done the biggest deal in commercial history back in January. And I just sent you the details. A Nigerian man done the biggest deal with that person you said is behaving not rightly.
Right.
Last year, January.
I agree.
Right. And hold on, Paul. So you know I ain't making it up, right? Now, let's go to... Africa, yeah? Right now, Kenya, half of the economic output is not white people own it, it's Indians own it.
Yeah.
Indians. Go to South Africa, right? South Africa. Ain't white people own that, running that thing. Most of them people there is Pakistani and Indian running the businesses and the whole of the economy down there, okay? Now, all the gold, I'm going to send you all the information so you know that I ain't even making not one bit of this up.
all the gold which is being robbed and stolen out of Africa, do you know where it's ending up?
Saudi Arabia. United Arab Emirates.
United Arab Emirates. Right.
United Arab Emirates.
That's where it's ending up, right? Yeah. Now, what are they? They're the Arabs. Before the Europeans come, the Arabs were there. Before the Europeans came into Africa, the Arabs were there, right? And right now, today in 2024, I'm not talking about antiquity, they are still stealing all the wealth out of Africa today.
Yes.
So, okay, you're talking about the white man and what happened in antiquity, but today I'm talking about today. The Asians and the Chinese, they are all happening now, taking more out of Africa than any white man right now today. And we are allowing it to happen.
Paul.
Like we're going into their shops, just like today we're going into their shops and buying from them. No one's tying a chain around our neck. No one's doing that. But we are doing it. Now, we want to look at ourselves and wonder, why are we doing it? What, is it because of convenience or we don't have the discipline to turn our backs on these people? Okay?
Okay, now.
That's where I'm seeing it. And I ain't changing my mind. I know we're not on the same page, but I see it every day.
We are. And I'm saying to you, I agree with you. I see the image and the makeup
of
the community.
But I understand that. What I'm trying to put out there, we've got to change our behavior. We have got to enforce some discipline among us. Okay? Is what I'm saying. This is going on to get on, can't run anymore. This talk, a man shows up and says, oh, it's arrogance, I don't care. Because we have to change our behavior. We're going to die. There's none of us going to be left. Because that behavior is not right. Okay? That's what I'm saying. I know what's happening. I've studied it all. But today I'm talking about, right now they're taking over. Look, we had a girl from Kenya this Sunday. Let me say this to you, Paul.
Let me say this.
Every business in Kenya is owned by an Asian. Every business.
Let me say this to you, Paul.
It's the same in Uganda. It's the same all over.
Let me say this to you, Paul, that I understand and I agree. Many of these businesses that Europeans once had are taken, just like the Europeans and the European Jews here in this country. At one time, the stores that they had, we took them over. But then we wound up selling them to the Arabs who came in, the Lebanese, the Palestinians, you know. And then we do that all over. Even here we do that. Same thing we do. Right.
It's like there's something wrong. It's like, I'm tired of this. Oh, the white man, We have to look in the mirror. We're doing something wrong.
I agree.
And take responsibility.
It's part of the mental side of process that could easily make a people extinct if they don't change their minds.
Absolutely.
Could easily make these people extinct. And they would do it themselves because I got their minds. I can direct them. I can influence them. I can make them. So I agree with you, Paul.
I hate the fact. I'm not disagreeing with you either. But what I'm saying is this, Baba Ochi. People don't like this, yeah? But it's past that time, whether you like it or not. It's gone past that time. I ain't here to beg no friends. Look, the reality of it is this, yeah? Religion has played a massive part in dumbing down our minds.
Yes.
And I can't see that. I have to look at that. The religion has dumbed down our brains.
Yes.
So if someone thinks he's arrogant, it's too damn bad. Religion has mystified us. It's taken us out of our... it just made us like we're crazy. Yes. Talking about some pie in the sky, some white man on the cross, when they're robbing everything around us, robbing our sanity.
I agree.
Right? We will go and stand up in their militaries and get paid and fight and die for them, but we will not fight and die for ourselves. What kind of menticide is that? Okay, that's where we are.
That's where we are.
That's where we are today. And I'm fed up with the pretending and acting. I'm sick of it.
I know, it's hurtful. It's hurtful, Paul. It hurts.
Because I'm a man too. And if you want to do that to me, just as much as you can do to me, I can do to you. So let's go for it. This is great. Because we live in America. Look, our children, every day, we see our children on, murdering each other off the street. Why? Because there's no hope for them. There's no jobs for them. We ain't providing nothing for them. That's the reality. Okay?
That's the sad reality. All right, brother Paul.
So we can talk it to Kingdom Come, Baba Ochi. We ain't providing for them.
Right, I agree with you.
Nothing for them. That's the situation here, and I know that's the situation too often. We're allowing these people to come in and take control. It's the same in the Caribbean. It's the same in Africa.
Yep.
And it's the same. That can't be sustained anymore.
No.
Because we're going to end up in a museum.
I agree. That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll end up in a museum that's being extinct. Brother Paul, you know I love you. I got to go. You know.
Brother Ochi, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I'm sorry to have to put it over like that. But sometimes this energy just takes me. And I don't know. I know I have a way to put it.
I hear you. Same here, brother. Same here, Paul. Bless you, man. Love you, Paul. Talk to you soon.
Wow. Thank you.
All right. Sorry, I have to sign off. I got stuff I got to do. But that's the reality. That's the problem. Now, some can blame us. I don't. I put the blame where it squarely belongs and always will. You know, but he's right. There are many people in our community. European Caucasians and European Jews, sometimes they're not in our community much anymore like they were. Like the Germans were when I was a kid in our neighborhood. And the European Jews were. Then later it was us for a minute, just for a minute. Then it became, you know, Palestinians. Became Arabs and Indians. In fact, in this city, here in Atlanta, boasting all the progress, I found out there is a store. I plan to go check it out in the neighborhood. It's not directly in my neighborhood, but I know where it is. I'm going to check it out. I'm happy about that. They still don't have a convenient, where there's a service station store. We don't have that. We don't have a supermarket, but to me, from based upon what I've seen about the store, you can buy what you need there. You don't necessarily have to go to the big supermarket chains that they have here. The bottom line is to support them so that they grow to have another and another so they can compete. We need to compete. But the real bottom line, though, we got to get out of this madness. That's the real bottom line. All right, family, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants and think they can't do without. And they don't pay, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fohorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Join us again on Wednesday. My guest will be Brother Bomani Tahimba of Africa for the Africans, and the tours that he gives. Hope to see you then. Peace, family.